For decades, Elizabeth Elliot has influenced many people. She shares with us what she's learned as a daughter, wife, mother, and missionary on this radio program, Gateway to Joy. Let's join Elizabeth now as she encourages us once again to live life to its fullest as disciples of Jesus Christ.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you again today on a subject which is very touchy with a lot of people. It's the subject of growing old. And I suppose that the main reason why it's so touchy is that we don't like to grow old. We don't like what we see in the mirror. We don't want anybody suggesting, by so much as a hint or a flicker of an eyelash, that we have aged since they last saw us. I was so gratified when my granddaughter Elizabeth was, I think, about 4 years old. She brought one of her four-year-old friends in, and she said, "This is my granny, see? She's not one of the old kind." Well, I just wanted to hug her for that, and I don't know whether I'm one of the old kind now, but my sister-in-law, Lovelace, and I often talk about the fact that back in the old days, less than 100 years ago, when women reached a certain age, they put on black dresses and lace caps. I have a good many pictures of ancestors of mine wearing black dresses and lace caps. There's something lovely to me about older women accepting with dignity and grace the honor of old age and being willing to wear a sign of that honor. Now, please don't go away from your radio and say Elizabeth Elliot is saying that everybody should be wearing black dresses and lace caps if they're over 50. I'm not saying that. I'm simply noting the fact that there was a time when old age was honored rather than hated and denied. And when I see an old woman in tight jeans with spike heels and dyed hair, I just want to say, poor thing, poor lady. Don't you realize that you're only exacerbating the signs of age by trying to look young? Well, John Wesley and a friend of his were traveling one day along a road. The friend was pouring out his troubles to John Wesley, and they were passing a stone fence around a meadow, and there was a cow looking over the fence. And Wesley said to the man, "Do you know why the cow looks over the fence?" The man looked very surprised. "No." "Well," said Wesley, "because the cow can't look through it. That's what you must do with your troubles. You can't look through them, so you look over them. The anxieties, the fears which old age may hold for you, do you know what to do with them? Look over them, look above them. Look up to him who holds all the future in his hands." In Isaiah 40, verses 26 and 27, we read, "Lift up your eyes to the heavens. Consider who created it all, led out their host one by one, and called them all by their names, through his great might, his might and power. Not one is missing. Why do you complain, O Jacob? And why, Israel, do you say, 'My plight is hidden from the Lord, and my cause has passed out of God's notice'? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord, the everlasting God, creator of the wide world, grows neither weary nor faint. No man can fathom his understanding." Do you feel the threat of non-personhood, of not having control over your own life? And I think I recall reading that one of the reasons that Ernest Hemingway, the great novelist, gave for committing suicide was because he no longer had any control over his own life. And a friend of mine who, when he was dying of cancer, became weaker and weaker, said to me, "I can't do anything I want anymore." It is a horrifying experience for us human beings to be out of control, to sense our gradual disintegration and weakness. And Jesus spoke to Peter in that beautiful passage where Jesus had cooked breakfast for the fishermen, and then the dialogue between him and Peter when he asks, "Do you love me?" And Peter says, "Yes, you know everything, Lord. You know that I love you." And Jesus finally says, "Then feed my sheep. I tell you truly, Peter, that when you were younger, you used to dress yourself and go where you liked. But when you are an old man, you are going to stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and take you where you do not want to go." That's not a very pleasing prospect for any of us, is it? But Jesus was being very straightforward with him. And John's comment is, he said this to show the kind of death by which Peter was going to honor God. If we're Christians, whatever kind of death God has in store for us, and only God knows what kind it will be or when, it is meant to honor God. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. So how can I prepare now to honor God in my death? Well, Jesus said to Peter, "You must follow me." He wasn't giving him a blueprint of all the things that were going to happen between now and then. He wasn't telling him when he was going to die or exactly what kind of a death it was going to be, but it was going to be a death which was going to involve becoming helpless and someone else dressing him and taking him where he did not want to go. His preparation for that was obedience. "You must follow me." And Peter turned around and noticed the disciple whom Jesus loved following behind them. And he said, "Lord, what shall this man do? What about him?" And Jesus said, in effect, "None of your business, Peter." Actually, he said, "If it is my wish for him to stay until I come, is that your business, Peter? You must follow me. You must follow me." You and I must become poor in spirit. Now, that may seem as only a passive virtue, like humility, renunciation, abandonment, spiritual childhood. And there's a sense in which it is passive. But on the other hand, it can be a voluntary offering of our fears of old age, of our consciousness of weakness, which some of us are feeling, of the loss of feeling needed, whatever emptying, whatever self-emptying old age is going to involve or does involve for you who are listening to me today. It can be a voluntary offering, renunciation of your own will. You must shut out the words that the world is constantly telling us about old age and acknowledge the fact that it is a part of the will of God. At every turn, life links us to the Lord, and we can lay ourselves open to the in-pouring life of God. Let down the barriers. Abandon yourself to the loss of identity, to whatever annihilation God may have for you. And out of this human loss comes the inrushing life, the vitality of the power of God himself. We must become so poor in our own right, says F.X. Derwell, that we die of it. So poor in our own right that we die of it. William Carey, the famous missionary to India, when he was at least middle-aged, I'm not sure when, he was away from the house and a fire broke out and completely destroyed the building, the presses, the many Bibles and the precious manuscripts, dictionaries, and grammars. When he returned and was told of the tragic loss, he showed no sign of despair or impatience. He knelt and thanked God that he still had the strength to do the work over again. He started immediately, not wasting a moment in self-pity. Before his death, he had duplicated and even improved on his earlier achievements. The ability to meet a tragic loss with uncomplaining endurance speaks of a faith robust, a faith firmly founded on the rock Christ Jesus. William Carey had not only learned, I've forgotten how many languages, I think it was some staggering figure like 32 languages, but he had written down some unwritten languages. He had translated the Bible into several. I'm sorry I don't have all those figures here. But you can imagine the sense of loss, all those years of work up in smoke in one day. But instead of showing signs of despair and impatience, he knelt and thanked God that he still had the strength to do the job over again. Are you conscious of weakness? Well, thank God for what you still can do. Instead of complaining, instead of giving an organ recital of all your ills and ails and your recent operations, could anything be more boring for your friends? Talk to God about it if you want to, but don't talk to everybody else. May the Lord preserve us from being bitter and un-get-along-withable in old age.
Growing up, Elizabeth Elliot understood that studying the Bible is a vital priority for the Christian life. And ladies, we can also establish a solid foundation for our lives through daily Bible reading and prayer. Join us next time as we think about the eternal truth of God's Word here on Gateway to Joy. Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your Gateway to Joy. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.